It's Thursday, January 15th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belvel. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers. Welcome to the podcast. Before we get started today, a few little updates. First of all, you know, we've been following that change.org website. Change.org is the one that is not associated with the Barack Obama transition team. Change.org is a collection of nonprofit organizations that have asked the issues of the American people that should be presented to Barack Obama. Well, their contest ended today, and I'm happy to say that Legalize the Medicinal and Recreational Use of Marijuana did finish first. I believe it did anyway. Last I checked, it was well ahead by about 4,000 votes. Now, the press conference is tomorrow at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., where in association with the Case Foundation, they're going to be presenting the top 10 ideas to the Obama administration. It remains yet to be seen if there will be any mainstream media coverage of this event, but we will bring it to you here at the Daily Audio Stash. It takes place at 9 tomorrow morning, so stay tuned to the stash and we'll get you the results from that as soon as we can. Also, at the other website, change.gov, and that is the one that's associated with Barack Obama's transition team, they've opened up something that they're calling the Citizens Briefing Book, where once again, citizens can submit their policy ideas and vote on them. And guess what's number one again? With 44,950 points, at least when I last checked, was ending marijuana prohibition once again. Now, we've been ignored by the Obama transition team twice now in this change.gov website, so I can't get too excited about going over there a third time and clicking on an idea that they're bound to ignore once again. But, you know, clicking doesn't cost anything. Why not? Head over to change.gov and give them a click there for the legalization of marijuana. We've got links up on our website at stash.normal.org. Also, a couple of news items on state medical marijuana that I want to get out of the way as well. The New Mexico Department of Health there is asking for petitions on more uses for medical cannabis. New Mexico has some of the most restrictive list of conditions, which only includes cancer, glaucoma, MS, epilepsy, spinal cord damage, and HIV/AIDS. So they don't have chronic pain or chronic nausea like most of the states do. So far, it looks like they're going to add post-traumatic stress disorder, nerve pain, and hepatitis C, but they've tabled chronic pain and depression. So still some activity going on there in the state of New Mexico. Also, the Show Me State, the state of Missouri, has just introduced House Bill 277, which is a medical marijuana bill for Missouri. Check out our website at stash.normal.org. I've got all the links you need if you're in Missouri and want to contact your officials to support House Bill 277. And finally, one last thing about just the Stash page. I'm really excited about all the interactive features we've added to stash.normal.org. And it looks like we're getting a good set of regulars out there that are watching the blog. So Jillian, Adam, Daniel, Reverend Ray Green, Evil Dick, you guys, thanks for listening and thanks for posting. And we'll get more people involved on this as 2009 goes on. Speaking of interaction, the Stash Pot Quiz, which you can find on the right side of the Stash blog, has been giving us some pretty interesting information about you Stashers out there. I've had a question up for a while called, are you out of the cannabis closet, where I'm trying to determine just how public you are about your cannabis usage. And we just reached 200 stashers now who voted in this, and the results are quite interesting. 36% of you admit that you're out of the closet, that everyone close to you knows you smoke pot, but it's not like public knowledge. 24% of you say you're fairly out of the closet, that your friends and family know that you're tokers, but not the people that you work with. 17% of you admit to being a semi-closeted stoner, in that your close friends know that you toke, but your family doesn't. And then 16% of you are like me, flaming potheads. As I put it, Google me and you'll see my head in a pot leaf. There's 32 of us out of the 200 that answered. And what I think is really a good figure here, 7% of the people who answered this poll out on the stash don't even use cannabis. It's good to know that people are interested in the issue and ending adult marijuana prohibition that aren't in it for themselves. I think that's quite interesting. And only 2 people out of the 200 who answered the stash pot quiz admitted that they're a closeted stoner, that not even their significant other knows that they smoke weed. Wow, that's got to be a tough life to live. All right, stashers, I've got a lot of information to cram into the podcast today, so let's get right to it. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our normal daily audio stash, Hemp Headlines. U.S. military. Mexico could collapse under drug violence and corruption. From Newsmax.com. Mexico is in danger of a, quote, rapid and sudden collapse, end quote, due to criminal gangs and drug cartels, according to a troubling new report by the U.S. Joint Forces Command on Worldwide Security Threats. Quote, in terms of worst-case scenarios for the Joint Forces and, indeed, the world, 2 large and important states bear consideration for a rapid and sudden collapse, Pakistan and Mexico, end quote, the report states. Quote, the Mexican possibility may seem less likely, but the government, its politicians, police, and judicial infrastructure are all under sustained assault and pressure by criminal gangs and drug cartels, end quote. As Newsmax reported last week, Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff said the U.S. has developed plans for a, quote, surge, end quote, in crime fighters if the drug wars in Mexico should spread across the border. The plans call for aircraft, armored vehicles, and special teams to converge on trouble spots along the border. Military forces would be used if civilian agencies like the Border Patrol and local law enforcement were unable to control the violence. Criminal activity in Mexico has killed more than 5,300 people in the past year, including members of warring drug cartels, law enforcement officials, and bystanders, many of them slain close to the U.S. border. Where, pray tell, are you getting these extra aircraft, armored vehicles, and military forces? Last I read, there was a shortage of troops for Afghanistan, a service-wide shortage of officers, a shortage of guns for soldiers in Iraq, and basically a shortage of everything the Army needs to maintain its mission. This piece is from the Army Times. Quote, It will take end of war plus 2 years to work off the backlog, end quote, General Peter Pace told the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee in 2007. Pace said that 40% of Army and Marine Corps equipment is deployed in Iraq and Afghanistan or being repaired in depots, with the remainder spread out among the other forces. This all costs a lot of money as well, which seems to be in short supply these days. Do you really think you can maintain a hot war in Iraq and Afghanistan, respond to another hot war on our southern border, and keep an eye on Pakistan, Bin Laden, and North Korea? If only we could think of a swift and effective policy change that would cost these warring cartels 70% of their business and bankrupt them overnight. Oh, well, we did think of one, but Congressman Reyes and President-elect Barack Obama keep telling us to shut up about it. Deep cover. New girl at Millington School partied, made friends, and sought to score drugs. From the Memphis Commercial Appeal. The new student at Millington Central High School was freaking out in study hall. She'd just been talking to a boy about scoring some drugs one late September day when she turned to get her purse and couldn't find her cell phone inside. The slight, pretty girl with dark blonde hair and a darker secret went nuts. She jumped up and dumped the purse out onto the table, demanding, "Who took my cell phone?" The phone's loss itself was of no importance. But if the thief bothered to call the stored numbers, he'd hear such greetings as, "This is Inspector Charlie Coleman of the Millington Police Department." Police shut her phone off in an hour before anyone stumbled upon its secrets. Operation Trojan Horse would continue for 3 months until police swarmed campus on December 16th. The day before, the new girl had quietly left school for good. Officers arrested 13 students for selling drugs to a person they thought was one of them. All transactions were recorded. This is the story of a 21-year-old female officer who infiltrated a high school with a fake 17-year-old identity. I always hate these 21 Jump Street stories of teenagers building confidence and trust in a friend, only to find as an undercover police officer sent there to lock him up. There always seems to be plenty of money to fund these undercover operations, yet teachers are still forced to buy school supplies out of their own pockets. If we spent half the time and money and priority on public school education as we spend on fighting the drug war, you'd have half the number of kids in school doing drugs, I guarantee. Now, you've got a large portion of the student body, some who were already having trust and authority issues, who will hate school and police and authority so much more for having their emotions tinkered with. The officer talks about how she would fit in with the teenagers.
"That's the biggest thing. I had to act like a stoner, pretty much. Being a girl, you have to be a little slutty, have to be flirtatious, have to hang out with them, have to make them like you, have to earn their trust. Easiest way to get in there is to flirt. One time a girl told me, 'You look older than you should.' I wouldn't wear makeup very much. It made me look younger. I had kids come up to me and say, 'Are you police? It's entrapment if you don't tell us. Say your name.' They have no idea what entrapment is. I'm not making them sell me anything."
She's absolutely right,